Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We all know how important our mothers are to us, and as always, we have our pre-Mother's Day discussion, and tonight we are talking about the relationships we have with our mothers and the secrets we kept from them, or that we think we kept from them. It is a panel discussion. This is going to be a get-in-your-business good conversation tonight. My guests are film producer April Jones and Good Projects founder Darius Baxter. And you, our listeners, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. April, good to see you again.
It's great to be here.
And Darius, man, you're getting your dance on right there. You know,
little, man, that's my song.
Is that your song? That's
yeah.
That's your song. Well, let me just say, first of all, that everyone in the room has mothers that are living, and that certainly is a blessing.
Indeed.
It's a blessing.
You know, God is
good.
That's right. All the time. I saw my mother just last weekend, going to see her again this weekend, and my mother, as always, is an absolute riot. But we're not talking
I see where you get it from.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And of course, you know, everybody knows I lost my stepmother last year. This is the first Mother's Day without her. So, you know, blessings up to that part of my family. So, April.
Yes.
I know you never, ever kept secrets from your mother.
Not me. My mother's a reverend. I don't have any secrets. I don't even know why I'm here today.
Well, wait. You have an outfit with your shoulder showing.
I got to tighten up.
You need a modesty cloth on that shoulder.
One of those handkerchiefs that you
wear
in church.
Get yourself. You better stop. She got a ring on her finger. I'm going to be knocking at the door.
Oh, look. I know her husband. He's in there. He's twice my size. He's a good brother. But isn't that right, Reggie? Yep. Okay. Hey, Reggie. How you doing? But what is your relationship with your mother like?
She is my best friend. We talk every morning, 7:30 on the dot. Usually, my sister calls in around 8:00. My brother calls in around 8:15, and we have a whole conference every single morning, Monday through Friday.
Really?
Every day.
Well, so is this like? How long has that been going on?
Gosh. Probably at least the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At least the last 5 years.
So what do you talk about?
My mom is, she has a nonprofit, and she's very involved with educating the community on mental health. And we're usually talking about the community or mental health or just good old-fashioned girl talk, makeup, hair, clothes, all that good stuff.
What's your mama's name?
Reverend Dr. Hodge.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. Is there some tea about to be spilled here?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Absolutely not.
Have you ever had to spill tea with your mother, though?
Oh, yeah.
So how does that work, you know, when your mom is a reverend, but she's also your mother? Did you ever keep a secret from your mother?
Oh, I kept a big one.
Really?
Kept a big one. My sister ended up telling on me, but I kept it for a long time. I think I held it down for at least a year.
Can you share it with us?
I can tell it now because I've been married to him now for 25 years. I can tell it now. Yeah.
That is a big one, because if you've seen your husband, what is he, about 6'5",
6'8"?
6'8".
Yes.
It's really hard to keep a 6'8" black man a secret.
Well, I didn't keep him a secret. I kept the fact that I was living with him a secret.
Ooh.
Yes. That, and where I come from, that's called shacking, and we don't do that.
Oh, yeah. But you did.
Yeah, for a year.
So how did you keep that a secret?
Well, I was in college at the time, and I was supposed to be living on campus. And so every time mom or my aunt would come see me, I would be in the dorm, of course. But when they weren't around, I would be at his home.
And your sister spilled the tea?
Told it all.
What? Oh, see.
I know it.
Why?
Melinda, you ought to be ashamed.
Not you be ashamed, because you
right?
are. But she needs to be ashamed. Oh, so what was your mom's reaction?
Oh, she lost it. She absolutely lost it. She was very unhappy with the situation, of course, and very much concerned. Number one concern was whether or not I was going to graduate on time.
How about that?
And number two was, you know, what are you going to do after this? Because, you know, at the time he was playing basketball, and I was a poet and did not plan on doing anything outside of poetry and being his wife. And my mother was not having it. She said, I did not send you to school to major in chemistry and psychology for you to be a poet and a basketball player's wife.
So you said it's been 25 years?
25 years.
So 25 years later, does she still look at him sideways?
No.
Oh, she okay. Was,
she gave him a pass.
She gave him a pass. Yeah, he's earned it. He's earned it.
He's
yeah.
earned it.
Yeah. She. Sometimes I feel like she loves him more than she loves me.
See, there you go.
I get jealous of him.
Darius. I've had the pleasure of meeting your mother. She's a wonderful
Harold, man,
person.
You still gonna fight?
You were the one
giving my mother the googly eyes. That's why I'm bringing to the studio today.
I know.
I see. That's why y'all invited me up here today. You thought I was gonna bring my mother?
Yeah. See, there it is.
I know how you do, Harold.
You know.
I smell that cologne on you.
He smells good, David.
No, he smells terrible.
He smells terrible.
See, I bathed.
My mama might be listening. He smells terrible. His outfit wrinkled. I don't know. Mama, just stay far away.
He a mess.
Stay far away, Mama.
Any of that stuff.
Nah, he look good. Harold always look good.
So, I know this from way back, but, you know, I haven't seen you in, what, 3 years or so?
It's been a while.
Yeah, since the pandemic. How would you describe your relationship with your mother?
Oh, my gosh, it's an excellent woman. By the grace of God, I have the opportunity similarly to talk to my mother every single day, and even more so to have an opportunity to build a community with my mother. You know, I made a very intentional decision. I think like most five-year-olds, I said, I'm going to retire my mother one day.
Mm-hmm.
And after 34 years of DCPS, when she was preparing for sort of the next chapter of her life, by the grace of God, I had already started pushing forward in my entrepreneurial journey. So it was no prouder moment in my life than when I was able to offer my mother an employment contract. Ma, come build this thing with me.
And congratulations.
She turned me down at first. But after that, she came back around. So every single day I have the opportunity not just to see my mother and love up on her, but to impact the lives of hundreds and hundreds of kids across the district.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever keep secrets from your mother?
All the time.
What do you think was the biggest secret that you kept from your mother?
I ain't going to say it on 96.
No, I spilled it.
What you mean? You can't hide no 6'8 man under no college beard. You wasn't hiding him for too long. Somebody was going to find out. But no, I think the biggest secret is probably has a lot to do with what we do now. And it was similarly, I found myself just as a child faced with a lot of different challenges. You know, I lost my father at a very young age. And my mother worked every single day. Like, even when I started, I know it's like, Mama, you know, I love you.
I remember. That was my jazz.
I used to perform for her on Mother's Day. And it was because she just sacrificed so much. And I found myself going to the Georgetown University. Had all the, I know, had all the prospects in the world in front of me. Where I would have thought that my mother would have pushed me because of everything that we went through to become a Wall Street banker or to become a consultant. I was secretly in my dorm room willing up this plan about how I was going to start a nonprofit. So by the time it was preparing for me to walk across the graduation stage, I had already made up in my mind that I wasn't going to go work with anybody, but I was going to go back to community to serve. And I thought that she was going to be mad at me for doing that. But I never forget the day when everybody else is, you know, it's about fall now. And she's like, so what you going to do? I'm like, Ma, I'm not going to lie to you. I think I'm going to work with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked me in the eye and she said, son, you know, if that's what God is calling you to do, then you go ahead and do it and you do it at full speed. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, the rest is history. Here we are.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the relationships we have with our mothers and the secrets we kept from them or think that we kept from them. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you want to talk about the secret that you think your mother does not know or did not know, or even about the relationship you have with your mother, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kim calling from Laurel. Hey, Kim, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, I think I gave you an alias. I didn't give you my real name.
Well, but you now see, I wouldn't have known that if you hadn't told me. But go right.
I'm just,
just
is that you, Keisha? Keisha?
I meant to give you an alias. So thank you all, and happy Mother's Day to all the birth mothers and earth mothers. My mom went to glory in 1996. But is this a PG segment or can we?
Yeah, this is
Kim, you would not believe I asked the same question.
This is the family show side of.
Well, I mean,
because you know, April has already been in here talking about sinning and grinning 25 years, or 26.
I'll speak a little bit in code.
Okay.
So back when I was in high school, you know, you used to have a pack of girlfriends, right? And you make these little swears, like, okay, when we meet a guy we really like, we not going to kiss them until 6 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't meet a guy that I really liked until literally 2 weeks before my prom in May.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I liked him, but I was following the 6 month rule, which meant I had to wait at least until November. Now, I didn't want my mama to know that I was feeling ready. So back then, I didn't want to go to the family doctor, so everybody knows what I'm talking about, right?
Right, so you better keep it quick, Kim. Go ahead.
I had a job, and I went through the Yellow Pages and found a doctor that was nowhere near the neighborhood that I was living in. And I went to the doctor to get the special medicine that you get when you know that you feel like you're ready.
But
that's something that I felt like my mom didn't know, but for some reason I think she knew when I became ready.
Did you ever tell her about this? Eventually. No, I'm not talking.
Because my mom was really, really strict on me as a teenager because she was a teenage mom.
Mm-hmm.
So because she was so strict, I didn't feel comfortable having that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the wherewithal, and I was working a part-time job, I had the wherewithal to know that I did not want to become a parent because I was headed off to college that fall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, through the years, of course, we became really close, and I could share whatever with her. But at that time, as a teenager transitioning to young adulthood about to go to college, I didn't want her to give me that whole speech that I knew was going to come had I told her I was ready. But I think she knew when I became active, even though we never talked about it. I think she knew when I did.
Well, Kim, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the relationships we have with our mothers and the secrets we kept from them or think we kept from them. Let me quickly go to Carmen calling from Northeast DC. Carmen, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good afternoon. Hello, Miss April. How are you?
Hello, Carmen. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, my secret, well, what I thought was a secret, you know, back in the day, the neighborhood raised you. And I thought I was going to smoke a cigarette.
God forbid.
And I was puffing out of, my mother wasn't home. I was puffing out of the bedroom window. And when she got home, you know the rest is history. I never smoked another cigarette.
I bet not. That's right. Probably because your lips were on the other side of your face after that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You better believe it.
Kind of hard to smoke when they're on the left side of your face. Well, you know, Carmen, thank you for sharing that, you know, that little secret. And I'm glad you never smoked again because we need to keep our folks healthy. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
We are talking about the relationships that we have with our mothers. I want to hear from you tonight at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It is our pre-Mother's Day conversation. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141, 202. 319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are having our annual pre-Mother's Day discussion, and tonight we're talking about the relationships that we have or had with our mothers and the secrets we kept from them or think we kept from them. You know, they're all saying, well, fathers may know best, but mothers know everything. Mm-hmm. My guests are film producer April Jones and Good Projects founder Darius Baxter. If you have a brief story about the relationship or the secret that you kept with your mother, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. What, April, what would you say is the biggest or most important thing that you have learned from your mother now that you, you know, when you look back at the relationship that you have with her?
To trust her.
Explain that.
When you're growing up, you don't know your parents as adults. You just know them as parents. And as you get older, you know that you can trust them to go to them with anything, anything whatsoever. And they're the best person to go to, because they can relate to you better than anyone else. They know more than you know, 9 times out of 10 anyway, and they can help you. But if you don't trust that relationship, you won't be forthright and forthcoming, and you won't get to your resolution. You won't get your problem resolved.
How did you learn that, though?
Trial and error, trial and error. Going through things and needing my mom and kind of testing the water slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm. When your sister spilled the beans about good old Reggie back there, and I know that that, you know, we laugh about that, but you, I'm sure you could not have even foreseen at that time.
Oh no! At 19, I was not laughing with my mom.
Yeah, when you're, you know, when you're where your life was going, but you know, that was that a one-sided conversation with her?
No, it was a two-way street. She wanted to know what I was thinking and why I was thinking like that. She was very, I mean, she could have killed me. She could have absolutely killed me. But her perspective was more so to teach me and to keep me from making any mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, because she was worried about the trajectory of my life. She wasn't worried about that moment. I was worried about the moment at 19. Mm-hmm. You know, and so as you grow older and you get to know and trust your parents as adults and not just as your parent, as people, as human beings, that's how you come to trust and know and allow them to be there for you. I think that's the biggest part, is allowing them to be there for you.
You know, Darius, you were talking earlier about telling your mother about this, you know, the Good Projects organization that you currently run, but was there, do you still see your mother as just your mother, or do you also see her as an adult, as a woman, as a person outside of motherhood?
Well, you know, to how I started this conversation, at a young age I lost my father,
right?
And my mother would be the first one to tell you this is not news to her. You know, she never remarried. She had a few boyfriends here and there, but nothing serious. I see my mother at this point in my life as, dare I say, someone that I have to protect. You know? And I feel like a lot of young men that came up in situations like I did probably feel the exact same way, and probably start feeling that way not at 29 years old, but probably at
9 years
old.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I see my mother more than anything, obviously as my mother, but I see her as a woman. A woman that for a majority of my life has had to operate through the world on her own. She's had to pay her bills, provide for 2 sons, feed them. You know, I'm not 6'8", but I'm a big boy.
Yeah.
You know, went to work every day and made sure that we were picked up in activities. So at this point in my life, everything that I do in relation to my mother is to try to make her life easier, whether that's, you know, helping her retire, whether that's making sure her vehicle is straight, calling her in the mornings as well just to check in on her. Where I feel like, and I was having this conversation with someone earlier, I feel like a lot of young men, especially the ones in my generation, don't have great relationships with their mothers for whatever reason. where it's like our mothers pour so much into us, especially when we're young, and we owe it to them to make sure that they're in a good place, especially those single moms out there. And I want to send a lot of love to them, particularly on this Mother's Day weekend, because I've seen firsthand just the sheer amount of sacrifices that women put to ensure that their children are raised and go off to do great things. And way too often kids, they take that for granted. They go off and they just run away and never look back. Where I've been blessed to be put in a situation where I get to pour into my mother every single day, and she knows the investment that she made in her son is one that she's receiving tenfold, and she will receive tenfold for the rest of her life.
Amen to that.
You work a lot with young people.
By the grace of God.
And why do you believe that so many young people, particularly boys, young men, have strained relationships with their mother? Certainly when the stuff hits the fan, they may be the first person from "you don't want to talk about my mother" to standing up to defend them. But when there aren't any problems per se, but those relationships seem to be strained, why do you think that is?
A complete lack of self-awareness. I think we'll talk about young men, they find themselves in a situation where they're blaming everybody else in their life for their problems. So when they start to mature and they start to get older and they look at their life and it may not be exactly where they want it to be, the first person that they start to point to is their parents. And too often in Black communities, particularly the ones that I come from, when we talk about low-income Black communities, you have single mothers raising these young men. So when they find themselves in a position they're looking out into the world, they're like, wow, why am I where I'm supposed to be? I'm going to blame my mother. And they start to build that resentment. And that resentment not only trickles into their mother, trickles into all women that they interact in their life. Where, I want to challenge men, especially those, by the grace of God that are hearing my voice right now, give your mama a call, man. It's Mother's Day weekend. Get her some flowers. It'll go a long way.
That is such a simple thing.
Yeah.
If your mother is with you, you really do need to give her a call. Just to check in. When I, call my mother, the greeting is always the same. When she picks up the phone and I call her, and I always say, "What are you doing?" Because I know she's doing something. She's always up to something. And even if she's not up to something right now, by the time I get off the phone and a few minutes pass, I could call her back and say, "What are you doing?" And then all of a sudden she is up to something.
Yes.
But the other thing is, I always, and she'll say, "Well, what do you want?" And I'll say, "I only want to make sure that you're still breathing." And that is, certainly, tongue in cheek, but as we know, particularly when you get to be of a certain age, every day with your parents is not promised.
Especially. And you had said something about that earlier, Harold, and actually got me thinking about sort of something that I've continued to challenge myself, not necessarily with my mother, but with my grandparents,
mm-hmm.
where I would say at least for the last 15 years, there's been times where I'll even try to avoid them. And probably not for reasons that you're thinking, right? But it's actually for what you're sharing. I'm like, dang. Because my grandparents are 86, 87 now. So I'm like, damn. They're getting a little up there.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to feel that pain? I know they're getting close to the end. So you start to get a little avoidant. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that experienced this. Where I've actually started challenging myself now. It's like, I've been thinking this for 15 years and they still running around here. Like, dang.
You might want to make that investment. Go ahead and spend time with them.
I think they're going to be here around. But it's like we have to continue to challenge ourselves. Yeah, every day is not promised, but it don't matter how old you are. We can walk out of the studio today and get hit by a bus.
Exactly. And I saw how you were driving earlier today.
Hey, it was traffic out there.
I know, you were trying to get here.
It was traffic out there. I'm sure all our listeners sitting in that traffic. It was crazy out there, man.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the relationships that we had or have with our mothers and the secrets we kept from them, even if we don't believe that we ever really kept any secrets from them. If you have a brief story to share with us, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. April, what have you learned from your mother about motherhood?
To trust myself, to go with my instincts. And
how many children?
I just have one son. He's 18, graduating this weekend, going to Temple College. He's 6'2".
Oh, okay.
Right. So Reggie can still jack him up.
If need be. Although he works out every day. He's a football player.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
His dad can still handle it. Yeah. His dad can still handle it. But my mother, like your mother, was a single mom. She worked three jobs with three kids, and made every possible sacrifice for us. And she says what she loves the most about us is how we love and care for our children, the time and the attention that we give them. And I got it from her.
What do you think is the, was, and I know there probably wasn't one moment, but if there was, for you as a mother, if there was a watershed moment, whether it was early in your son's life or much later, was there a moment when you said, "Dag, I'm a mother. This is really what it's about"? Can you think?
Yes, it was actually a moment when I realized how much I needed to appreciate my mother. It was just shortly after my son was born, and I realized what it took to bring a child into this world. I was so grateful to my mom. Because
you mean the physical act of bringing
a child into this world is not easy. It is tough. And my mom did it three times over. I'm a wuss. I did it once and I tapped out. I was like, I'm good.
I'm good.
I've had this experience. I trust that it's difficult. I won't repeat. But I'm telling you, you become so appreciative when you realize what a woman has to go through just to bring life into this world. It is truly a miracle.
How would you describe your relationship with your son?
Excellent. I love my son. In my phone, he's saved under his nickname, and it says my favorite person in the world, because he truly is one of my favorite people.
What is the most difficult thing about motherhood?
Trying to be an example. Trying to make sure that you make the right choices and do right things in front of your children, because I know how I look to my mother and the example she was to me. And so I try to set that example every day, and it's a lot of pressure. I don't know that most women will admit it, but it's tremendously stressful to know that someone is looking at you every single day, and how you handle situations and how you go about business and everything. From the time my son was able to walk and talk, I would take him with me to business meetings, because not only am I a film producer, but I'm a senior executive in corporate America as well. And it is a lot that I have to deal with on a daily basis, just trying to balance my work life and my home life. But I try to be as thoughtful as possible about it, because I know he's paying attention to me.
You know, there are many things that I learned, and I'm still learning, from my mother. But the thing that I am really amazed at, and I really marvel at this, is something that I began to notice when I was probably, I was in my preteens, when I was really starting to pay attention. And I see the dividends of this one particular observation that is still paying off now, almost 50 years later. And that is the relationship that my mother had with her friends. My mother is a very friendly person. She will talk to anyone. But there was a group of women. Many of them are still around. Some of them are not anymore. My mother called them the dubious dozen, because there were never a dozen of them. It was never 12. sometimes it was 13, sometimes it was 15. And many, if not all of these women were Deltas, because my mother's a member of Delta Sigma Theta. Exactly, there you go.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And, but beyond the sorority connection, when my sister and I were very, very young, my mother would take us with her when she visited her friends. And her friends were good to us. Mm-hmm. They were good to me. They were good to my sister. And even as we grew out of childhood, those friends remained in my mother's life. They remained in our lives. And I'm fascinated it's just incredible that after all of these years that, you know, my mother doesn't have just one ride or die. She had a whole bus.
Yeah.
That's a blessing.
You know, just that a whole a bus. And I think in following that example is understanding how important friendships are. Because in this day and age, we've had the breakdown of friendships, family, associates, people we know, blah blah blah. They probably had it back then as well. But the only thing that I knew was that these were my mother's friends, and not only would my mother could ask anything of them, but I could ask anything of them, and. Even as I've gotten much, much older, and you spoke about this, Darius, regarding your grandparents, some of these friends are now, you know, they are in their 80s, and if they need something, excuse me, of me, that because I observed how good they were to my mother.
You're there for them.
That I'm there for them. And I think when you talk about being an example, mm-hmm. because sometimes we as children are watching even when we don't know that we're watching our parents, or specifically, you know, in this particular case, our mothers. And I think for men, I think it's really important to have your mother as a role model, so that when you begin to make a selection for yourself,
exactly.
If that's what, you know, if that is, you know, where you are in your life, that you would make a selection that would make your mother proud, and so you're not shacking when you're in college.
See, you know? That was real low there. Okay.
Because sometimes they just don't listen.
We don't.
but I think that's one of the things. And when you talk about mothers also, I look at the relationship that my sister has with her son, who is just incredibly brilliant, and she reminds me a lot of my mother. My sister does not suffer fools, mm-hmm. But she is loving and warm and caring. And she is, along with her husband, of course, helping to really shepherd him into a wonderful life as he looks, you know, in a year from now, looking beyond high school and into college. And I think that kind of relationship, the power of motherhood, is really, really so important. And I will say this other thing. One of the things that I have noticed also over these past couple of years, and this is one of the things that's really been very disturbing to me, is that sometimes you meet people and you ask them, you know, what is your relationship with your parents, or specifically your mother, and those relationships are fraught with, you know, landmines, potholes,
trauma, unnecessary trauma.
Yeah, and that's troublesome.
Yeah, it takes somebody being a bigger person. I have these types of conversations. You can imagine the line of work that I find myself in. Work a lot with families that are living on 100% at times public assistance, growing mm-hmm. up in abject poverty and everything that comes with that. So you can imagine, to your point, the level of trauma that children are facing, particularly when it comes to the relationships that they're having with their parents. And so my message always to folks, and they tell me, actually, you got what they call toxic positivity. I just heard
this
term.
That's a good thing.
No, because my message is always the same, and it's one that I've even had to channel in my own life. It's like somebody has to be the bigger person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, when you look at the trajectory of any great family, and I'm talking about families throughout history, it oftentimes was a single individual that made a decision and said, you know what, I want something better for myself. And in wanting something better for myself, I want something better for my children. And because I want something better for myself and I want something better for my children, that means that the support system that we came into this world with got to be good too. Meaning that I have to first learn to forgive. And a lot of people don't do that, right? Because when you talk about, I have friends, I think this generation is an interesting one. Like, people just have no problem saying, yeah, I ain't spoke to my parents in 6 months, a year, 2 years. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible.
Right. What's wrong?
Like, what's wrong? Is everything okay? And they're like, oh, they did this to me, or this Thanksgiving, or something like they stole $5. I'm like, look, chill out. Take a deep breath for a second. Are you breathing? Yeah, I'm breathing. You got a roof over here? Yeah, I'm good. You got clothes on your back? Yeah. All right. And you got to forgive, man. Because at the end of the day, family is all you have. And I think this social media world that we find ourselves in, we can get that instant dopamine, open up our phone, and we think, oh, I got 10,000 followers. I got all these people that love and support me. But at the end of the day, when we find ourselves, when God is ready to bring us home, we land on our deathbed, we're not going to be thinking about, oh, I got a million followers on Instagram. You're going to be wondering, where my mother at?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the other things, and I can really kind of speak to this, as I mentioned, I lost my stepmother in October of last year, but before she became ill, and I used to call her, my bonus mom, and she was always...
I'm sure she loved that.
She really, really did. Yeah. She really did. She was a true Southern Belle, a lady, exceptionally refined. But she also helped keep my father in line, which is extreme. I couldn't. But it was extremely, it was a challenge. But, as establishing, because I was an adult when my father married, but establishing a mother-son relationship with her that was separate and apart from the mother-son relationship that I had with my mother was something that was very, very natural. But I will honestly say it is not because of me that relationship was an excellent relationship. It was because of the nurturing that was part of her.
You said something earlier. You said Steve Harvey. I was watching this interview from him. Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
He said when him and his now wife, they first started dating, he said the kids, they both have
a dubious dozen
of kids.
Right.
And he said the kids wanted absolutely nothing to do with it. And they remember the first time they took them all out bowling. And the kids were like, we don't want you guys together. The kids banded together like, no, we don't want you guys together. We think this is not a good thing. And I love what Steve Harvey said, and it aligns perfectly what you said as it relates to your stepmother and your father. They said, they looked the kids in the eye, him and his now wife. They said, look, we're going to create between the two of us an environment of love. Y'all can either get with it or y'all can get gone.
That's a way to put it.
Yeah.
And we can see they all got with it. But it's to your point is that at the end of the day, and I'm actually interested to hear from you, Harold, like, what was that relationship like where you still have your mom, your biological mother, but here you are forming a relationship with your bonus mom? Like, was there any tension there?
No, and I will say, and my mother has spoken about this, for many, many years, and I would argue that the relationship between the two of them was unique because, of course, my stepmother had nothing to do with the demise of my parents' marriage, and the other thing, it did not hurt that my stepmother was also a Delta, so they also had that bond.
Right, I'm here.
But even without that, my mother is and my stepmother was they were a wonderful people.
Sure.
And
so your father had a type.
The only type was that he was married twice to very good women, you know, but they were very different, very different people. But they were all. But my stepmother was a very, very good woman. My mother still is, and but they came from a time when I would argue also that they, for the sake of the peace of their children. Which wasn't, you know, we were adults, but we still had to interact with my father, and whom I love dearly. And just to give you an idea, what this happened several years ago, my stepmother had to have a procedure over here at Washington Hospital Center. I guess it was about, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago. And she was in the hospital for several days, almost a week, I believe. And my mother went to see her.
That's beautiful.
In the hospital. Mm-hmm. And, she truly appreciated it. And during my stepmother's last months in the hospital last year, my mother would, send her cards, would send her a robe or something, because they had a really, really good relationship. And I think making and observing that even as an adult child is a wonderful example to see from whether it's motherhood or sisterhood or womanhood, but I think it is really, as they say, pressing towards the mark. And I think that is a mark to press towards.
Sounds like your mother's a very classy woman.
Oh, she is, but she's fun too.
That's all right. You can be classy and fun.
Look at Miss Jones. She got her shoulder out.
Yeah, that's right.
Y'all in the shoulder.
We got the shoulder. If your mother's, Reverend, we're going to have to talk about this shoulder. We have to get her a modesty club.
I didn't know a shoulder would cause so much trouble. I really did.
Well, it caused trouble for Michelle Obama. when she had the arms out, and you got that Michelle Obama swag. So,
Thank you. Yeah. I received that.
Yeah, absolutely. I only have a few minutes left, but I wanted both of you to just take a moment, when you think about this coming Mother's Day, for yourself, April, as a mother, as you think about your relationship with your mother, as well as that sister of yours.
Who I love dearly.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't love her at the time. I was very upset with her at the time, but that's my road dog.
Some final thoughts about Mother's Day?
I want everyone to be in love, and I mean that in a way where it's unconditional love for each other, for the human race, for your mothers especially. That needs to be an unconditional love, a love without limits and a love without borders.
Yeah, I like that. Darius, you have any final thoughts about Mother's Day? You're about to hit the big 3-0, so that's going to be a milestone for you when you think about, the relationship with your mother.
Yeah, it is, man.
And you need to go see your grandparents, by the way.
No, I know I do. I know I'm very intentional about seeing them now, man. Yeah, for sure. And so my message will be a little bit different. I've been blessed again in the line of work that I've done to be able to touch a lot of different types of people. And one of the saddest things that I hear, particularly when people, not just relationships with their mothers, but relationships with anybody that they love around the holidays, they become avoidant because they're like, oh, I don't got no money, right? So somebody who's hearing this right now, let me tell you, you don't need no money to go love upon your mother. The most valuable thing that you have is your time.
Great advice.
Don't think that you have to buy her nothing crazy. Don't think you got to take her out to no fancy dinner. Just show up at the house and be completely present. Maybe leave your cell phone in the car, right? Right, that's the only message that I want to send out here today.
Well, I want to wish my mother a happy Mother's Day. I will see you on Sunday. We're going to be at my sister's house, and My brother-in-law is going to be on the grill, and he suffers no fools on the grill. Let me just tell you that. But it'll be an opportunity for me to once again, you know, to hold my mother close and to give thanks that that she is still with us. Like my mother says, I thank God for my time, and I thank him for your time, Mom. April, I really appreciate you coming in. Darius, you as well. Tell your mother I said hello.
You're going to stop playing with me, Harold.
I know.
No. I just want to ask people to take their mothers and go see my new movie. It's called I Wish I Never Met You. It's on Tubi right now.
Why'd you tell me?
I'm telling the world right now. I wish I never met you. It's on Tubi. It was written by Arthur Zane. And it is an amazing, very dramatic movie, something your mother will enjoy because my mother loved it at the premiere.
Well, I was about to say, you can't show that.
My mom loved it.
You insane, Lord have mercy. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, May 12th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Malek Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Wilson, who is on her way to motherhood, by the way.
Congratulations.
And engineer Bobby Adams. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.